1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
Live from the KXXT studios here in Phoenix, Arizona. You can also watch us online at breakradioshow.com. This is Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Greg Isaac here, alongside Dave Isaac.
Iardo.
There you go. Of course, Joseph.
Oh, I said Iardo,
you're saying the way I'm supposed to say it.
I said it too soon. Am I on?
Yeah,
I am on.
Yeah, you're on. We hear you.
Yeah,
unfortunately, we see you too.
I'm looking at the trailer, movie 43.
Yeah, I want to see
girl
it
in
badly,
a bikini.
But we'll hear more about that as well as other movies. And I like that as well. I know Elizabeth Banks, one of the directors of that, I believe.
Yes, she's one of the directors and one of the stars.
So I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. And
Are you going to see it?
I
when?
Hope so. Yeah, maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
You're going out tomorrow?
I am.
With
yes.
who?
Well, you're going to be one of the people that's going to be going out.
We're celebrating a birthday, right?
Yes, we are.
Who's?
Yes. My fiance Stacy.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, her birthday was yesterday, but tomorrow we're.
Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah.
Because for the they got to have a week long celebration.
Oh, of course.
Know?
Yeah.
So I'm still
a year long.
Yeah, maybe a year long.
Did
yeah.
you sign her up for all the freebies and everything? Are you doing those?
Oh, do they have that?
Yeah, you get like if you sign your email address for Keg Steakhouse, you get a free steak dinner worth like $25.
I should start doing that a little more.
Yeah. Some of these are Ben. Benihana as well. They give
oh,
you a
what
free,
did they do
I've
at
never
Benny.
Been there,
you
but
get a 30,
I want to go.
I think $30 certificate at Benihana.
Oh, really?
And you can sign up immediately? We could just show up?
What, are you calling me cheap? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
No, that's a good idea, though.
Benihana.
Yeah.
They play the great song Benny and the Jets. Remember that?
There
yeah,
you
I
go.
Think they got that playing on a loop in there, right?
Yeah.
Benny, and then, and Elton, Benny is the father of Hana. Where that was a movie about a young assassin that was, remember?
See, you know these
Hannah.
Things until you listen to this show.
Yeah. That was Hannah. Remember the movie? It was pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, Hannah was pretty good. Yeah.
We got to guess what Dave is smoking on a future show.
Okay. Look, I'm drinking. What does that look like?
It looks like lemonade because.
It's lemon?
I'm sorry. Dave's just a Riesling drinker. I was.
What? What did he just say?
I said Greg. You see how out of it I am.
Yeah,
but
he's just sitting there.
Just because you're sitting in my seat?
Yeah, yeah. I'm switching the names around.
I never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, there you go. But a great show, of course, today.
Yeah, we've got an interview. He's calling in Jason London today.
Oh.
Yeah? Jason London. It's a collect call. Can we do that?
I think so.
Collect call? Yeah.
Okay.
It's a joke. It's a joke. He's not calling in.
April Fool's.
I just
April.
I just
Jason
gave someone
or
a
Jeremy.
I gave someone an aneurysm right there, didn't I?
I think you did.
was it Tom? I can't even see Tom from the. How do you
because
do this? How do you sit here?
It's
actually not bad. It sounds a little tinny though through the.
No, I think it's fine. Usually, I use that headset right there.
Oh, should I do that? Okay.
There you go. Yeah, I'm not sure how that one really sounds. I don't. Well, I don't pay too much attention to it. And there we go. Dave is changing out his headset. And for those of you watching online, you might be like, wow, Dave looks a little different, looks better. But we switched seats today. You know, I don't have the laptop with me. So just in case I need to use the computer.
No, you got
for
promoted.
Anything,
I promoted you.
I've been promoted. You know, I missed last week. That's what you got to do. You got to miss a
hey,
week.
Hey, did he miss? Did we miss him?
Yeah, we did. I think so. Or were you going for something else? Wrong answer?
No, that was a good answer. Give him five. Okay. So
no, really, we don't have Jason London. I'm just giving him a hard time.
Ooh, sure. Jeremy London.
He's listening. but he's got his little radio and wherever he is that's see-through. You can see all the wires. Anyway,
look
but really.
Look at that, though.
Yes, that's Emma Stone. She's in one of the movies we're talking about as well.
Absolutely. Oh, my.
We have an interview with Lucas Till. We were supposed to have him on last week, but some things fell through. So we've got some sound bites from that interview about All Superheroes Must Die, a DVD that came out this week.
Uh-huh.
And we've got your preview of the trailers that will air during the Super Bowl.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, because everyone's excited about that. I'm excited for the commercials. You're probably excited for the actual game.
I'm excited
game.
For the commercials, too.
The commercial,
you know what?
Okay.
I'm a hockey guy, actually. No. The Super Bowl, I do watch a little bit, but mainly the commercials for me. Dave,
okay.
Dave
I like
the
whole thing.
Yeah. You like the whole thing? All right, the halftime show.
I like
and I'm
the
sure
Dorito
we'll...
commercials,
no,
too.
No, the GoDaddy commercial.
Little Beyonce this year, too. You can't go wrong with that.
Oh, she's doing something?
She's singing the national anthem.
Oh. Lip-syncing the
yeah.
national anthem.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about, you know, some of the commercials and everything next week. But we've got your preview of the trailers because they just announced them, I believe, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then we've got your rundown of several movies, six movies, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, Parker, Broken City, Quartet, West of Memphis, and a movie that nobody else is talking about, Movie 43. Mm-hmm. We have an in-depth look at that, all the stars, all the different shorts.
Not quite in-depth, but you said all the different shorts.
Yeah.
Hint. Okay.
I'd really like for an in-depth look at Emma Stone, but you know we'll do that
later
on.
I have
the
complete
year.
Cast right in front of me on my iPad.
It's
Kate
amazing.
Winslet.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Banks.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Anna Faris, Naomi Watts. You see, I'm skipping the guys. Uma
see,
Thurman.
There he goes again with the Irma.
Oh, yeah. Kristen Bell. I love her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's
Leslie Bibb. I don't know her, but
she's from
too.
Popular, the TV show.
Yeah. And Iron Man.
And then, Greg, you can do the guys.
Well, I know Gerard Butler, my former lookalike before I gained weight.
Well, you might
Hugh
look
Jackman.
Like you're closer.
I thought it was
yeah.
George
yeah.
Clooney you look like.
That's what Grandma says. Of course Grandma's going to say
speaking
that.
Of George Clooney, we also have a little, maybe you didn't know if you actually did get a chance to see Movie 43 over the weekend. We have the deleted scenes, the uh-huh. deleted shorts. We'll tell you about them, who the stars were in these, and
wow.
You know why they were deleted. So
really? That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, you're all ready to go.
I think one of my favorites, Jason Sudeikis, is also in it
yes,
as well.
Yes, he is.
He's very funny.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him now, and I don't have the list in front of me, and I'll bring it up here in just a second. But I know
Chloe Moretz.
She's good, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's playing Carrie, which didn't you say a few weeks ago the release date got pushed back
yes,
a bit on that?
Yeah, yeah. That's wow. going to be in, I believe, October now. It was originally supposed to be released,
oh,
I believe,
Naomi
in March.
She's
yeah,
blonde
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah, she's, well, she happened. Always looks good. Blonde, redhead, you know, whatever, however.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, he's not in this
movie. I know, but Kate was.
Stephen Merchant's in it. He's actually, he's
yeah.
pretty good. He was in Hall Pass, one of the buddies
oh,
of Sudeikis.
Yeah.
And
Halle Berry's in
yeah.
it.
Oh, you can't go wrong
I
with
don't
those
see her.
Berries.
She's
yeah.
in
Halle Berry?
Yeah.
They didn't put
but
her
Dave's,
in there.
But Dave's favorite. Seth MacFarlane also in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Family Guy.
Yes,
yeah,
I like
absolutely.
That. Do you like that? It's funny.
Yes,
Oscars.
Yeah.
yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, there's several jokes about Family Guy in there as well on American Dad. So,
nice.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about all that,
yeah, we'll
you know, here in
it.
The second half hour of the show, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't know. Well, do you want to start off with our interview clips?
Yeah, we can go ahead and do that.
All right, well, you know, this movie came out on DVD and Blu-ray mm-hmm. on Tuesday. It's called All Superheroes Must Die. It's about these four superheroes who are captured by their greatest villain, their arch nemesis, and they find themselves in this town. They're isolated, and it's kind of like a Saw meets a superhero movie where you know the bad guy wants them to fight each other, uh-huh. Or he's going to just blow everything up. And so they have to go through these series of, you know, trying to rescue people and fighting each other in the meantime. And Lucas Till plays one of the superheroes. His acting credits, I first saw him in Hannah Montana, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't go wrong with that. And X-Men First Class he was just in. He played a superhero
yes.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he was... Havoc was his superhero in that. And finally, he's going to be starring in Stoker, which I asked him about, so we'll have some more clips from him when that comes out in March, Stoker.
Oh, okay.
With Nicole Kidman is that
nice.
In that.
Oh.
And Matthew Good. Uh-huh. And, but anyway, so This is an okay movie. I didn't much care for it, but if you like superhero movies, especially darker, it's an interesting independent flick. I'm going to say that, you know, it's not X-Men, it's mm-hmm. not Iron Man. It's definitely an independent superhero flick. So I asked him what appealed to him about this project and, you know, how the whole thing came to be. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this is directed by the same guy that did the FP. You have the Jason Trost, right?
Yeah, Jason Trust.
So he wrote and directed the film. So here's what Lucas said about why he joined.
Well, first of all, my best friend wrote it, but also I had a lot of money laying around. Not a lot of money, but you know it was certainly enough to just make a fun movie and be creative that we wanted to do. And I said, all right, well, you know what? Here you go. Let's do this. And within a week, this idea just came to fruition. And at that point, I was like, well, all right, here we go. And then I found out I was probably going off to shoot another movie, which was X-Men at the time. So we had to really hurry up, and we shot it in 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. We talked with some directors in the past, and you said that's kind of a short amount of time, isn't it?
Well, it seems like a really short time.
Yeah? I mean,
because average movie, I mean, production wise, actual shooting part doesn't usually take anywhere between 3 to 6 months or
yes,
so, something
yeah.
along those lines.
Or in the case, and we'll tell you more again later, but movie 43, several years.
Right.
Chloe Grace Moretz, I believe, is like, you know,
yeah, she's
preteen
old now.
In the movie.
Yeah.
But, but in this, since it's an independent film and, you know, basically self funded and everything. You know, that's kind of hard, and especially when it is your best friend. And so I said that that's a really short amount of time, and I asked Lucas, you know, was your friendship with Jason ever challenged or in jeopardy? And,
Lucas
and,
Till?
Yeah, Lucas Till.
Yeah.
I don't think me and him really get into any arguments because we both are working for the same goal. But it actually, I mean, in the conditions we were working in, it was certainly rough up there. I mean, you got two dudes in skin-tight costumes, you know, one listening to the other's orders and, you know, and everyone's trying to help out, but you end up stepping on each other's toes. And it was a little rough, but at the same time, when you're working with a friend and someone who has the same mindset as you and goal as you, it kind of works out. Very, very stressful. But as you can tell, I don't think our friendship was challenged that much.
Yeah, two dudes in skin-tight costumes.
That is weird.
Now we got everyone wanting to see it, don't we? No, but, you know, so...
Next interview, please. No, just kidding.
Yeah, so, you know, I asked him more about his character. His character's name is Ben, a.k.a. Cutthroat. Mm-hmm. You know, so in X-Men, you have Havoc. In this, you have Cutthroat. And so I asked him a little bit of, you know, how he got into this mindset. And here's what he said.
Cutthroat was basically, you know, the sidekick. And no matter whether you read comics or not, you're all familiar with these themes and these relationships between, you know, the leader and the sidekick and the love interest and her affair with, you know, maybe someone else or whatever. And that's not even superheroes, that's just life. But Ben was, you know, filled the role of the sidekick who never could get past being a sidekick, despite how much he really respected, you know, his leader. You know, classic kind of like Batman, Robin, Nightwing kind of maybe a thing, and a lot of other ways.
Do you read comics, Greg?
I don't.
Have you ever?
No, actually. I don't get me wrong. I like some superhero movies like Batman, of course, the
yeah.
Dark Knight series, and some others, but I never got into comics. Now, if I had the chance mm-hmm. and took the time, I do think I would enjoy it, but I just never got to it, though.
Now, see, I read comics when I was younger, but they were more, you know, like Ren and Stimpy and
right,
things based on TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, so it weren't like superheroes. But I felt kind of bad when I was interviewing Lucas Till because he kept like bringing up video games. And he's uh-huh. like, hey, you know, have you ever played this?
Uh-huh.
I was like, no. And he says, really? He says, well, have you ever played this? And I said, no. And he's, wow, I'm really putting you on the spot here. And he was just so enthusiastic, and I couldn't fake enthusiasm because I had no idea what he was talking about.
He's 22 years old.
Well, yeah.
He's just a kid.
Yeah.
That's why.
But he's got enough money lying around to make a movie. So maybe I should start playing video games. Yeah. Things would turn around. anyway, first in X-Men First Class, he played Alex Summers. Again, that's a.k.a. Havoc. And I asked him about X-Men. And by the way, he's on IMDb. It says that he's rumored to be in the sequel, Days of Future Past. He couldn't confirm. He really, just kind of like shot me down there, which I understand. You don't want to get him in any trouble there.
Sure, yeah.
So, but, they're going to bring back all these superheroes from all the different X-Men's. And so he's a very angry character, both Havoc and this character, Cutthroat, in this film. And I asked, which one was filmed first, and apparently All Superheroes Must Die was filmed first, and then he went into X-Men. And I asked, did it influence that? And here's what he said.
Because Cutthroat is so angry the whole time. I mean, he's stuck in a town. He's lost his powers, and he is overcoming being his rival, really. He's meeting his rival again and trying to get over that. And, man, maybe Cutthroat directly influenced my anger going into playing Havoc, because he's not really an angry character throughout his history. He's just a troubled character. And when I think about it, when I watched it, it's like, wow. Man, I was the whole movie, and maybe that was because I was working all the time, not just being an actor, but also being a moving lights and serving people food or whatever jobs we all had, and then carried that over into my next superhero role, which was literally days later.
And we're all human, right? I mean, actors are human, so if they're going to work on one project and it's especially hard, it might carry.
And I look angry literally 24 hours a day.
That's all right.
Well, wait, I got breaking news.
What's the breaking news?
Breaking news. It may not be breaking, but it's amazing news. What? Of course, he did a movie called Random.
Okay, yes.
2013, you heard of it?
Yeah, directed by Dave Isaac.
No, guess what?
What?
One of the cast members, Ashley Green.
Oh, there you go.
She's my favorite Twilight person.
Wow. That's true, yeah.
There we go. That's all I have to
that
say.
That was the breaking news.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, got a taste of the next answer here. But this one's a real quick answer. I my favorite question, as usual, is what did you learn about yourself? What did you learn from this project? And here's what Lucas said.
That I could look angry literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 2 weeks straight. Well, that's pretty myth, the whole movie. Yeah, that's real hard to do. I like laughing.
Yeah, I like laughing too. So,
see, that's interesting if you think about that, because great actors get into their character.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I guess it could be damaging at some point if you get prolonged deep trance identification, we'll call it. Hey, fancy term. and you can't get out of it, especially if it's very dangerous as a character. You know, one of the characters, maybe like Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps,
yeah. We don't know what goes on there, but it is kind of dangerous, right?
It can be.
Especially these actors who, really get into that character, method actors.
Yeah, that's, that's interesting. I'm still looking at Ashley Green.
He was trying to impress her with that word, I think.
I think so,
she listens to the show.
Absolutely, yeah. Every Thursday from 2 to 3.
Yeah, so, but yeah, Lucas Till, we'll talk to him again about Stoker in March.
Oh, good. Oh,
okay, great.
And but this film, again, it is All Superheroes Must Die. It is on DVD and Blu-ray, so you can check it out, and it's all right if you like superheroes. Movies. Again, I didn't care for it. I'm kind of getting worn out on these superhero flicks, I think.
Right.
Very cool.
But speaking of breaking news, let's talk about the trailers that are going to air during the Super Bowl. So we all said that we're going to watch it for different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And now the 30-second spots this year, they are $3.7 million.
Ooh, wow.
So Lucas Till might be able to buy one, but I don't think that any of us here could. Yeah. A little bit, maybe just knock off a million.
Maybe a half a tenth of a second of a second.
I don't even think I can afford that much. But the surprising thing here is Warner Brothers, Fox, and Sony are all opting out of commercials for their films. But the biggest premiere, and you're going to like this one, Dave, is Universal, who they're going to be airing the first footage from its sixth Fast and Furious movie.
Ah.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah. Good. It's a special trailer, specially designed for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Fast and Furious 6, Fast 6. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel, Paul Walker.
Wow.
So that's something to look forward to, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because those are popular movies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
do they really have to spend, you know, $1,700 million for a promo spot?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's already, when you hear that, don't people come out?
Yeah,
anyway?
But I think it gets people even more excited. You know, they're drinking, watching the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, another Fast and the Furious, yeah!
Yeah, it's all about word of mouth and just trying to get people even more
excited. Well, that's true. Everyone's going to be watching. So, yeah, maybe it's worth it.
But it is kind of strange. You know, you're right. That it's a franchise. You know, people know that it's coming out. You might want to, like, you know, spend your money on something that people don't know that's coming out.
Right.
Like Paramount, they're going to launch 2 30-second ads. One is for, again, you're going to like this, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, is that the Chris Pine?
Yeah, Chris Pine.
I love the first one. They
yes.
got the same cast?
Yes, I believe the same
cast.
Very good. And there's the bad guy in that. I forget who the new villain is.
Darth Vader.
No, that's... Yeah, he's directing that too, J.J. Abrams.
Darth Vader.
A lot of people are worked up about that. But do you have who the bad guy is? Do you know? Is it say?
Oh, Christopher Waltz.
I see some names here, but I don't know who actually is the bad guy per se.
Well, maybe we'll find out during this 30-second spot.
Carl Urban plays Bones. I don't know if that's the bad guy.
I think he was in
that.
I don't
know. I've never seen the first one. Of course, John Cho, best known as the MILF guy, as well as Harold from Harold and Kumar, returns again. But I didn't see the first Star Trek, but I do know he was in
it was very good, don't you think?
I didn't much care for it, but I don't like Star Trek.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah.
I like J.J. Abrams, but, you know, this Star Wars thing, I could care less because I don't like Star Trek. I don't like Star Wars. You know, I just feel bad that J.J. Abrams isn't going back to make something a little bit better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I will get the name of the villain here. Khan is the villain.
Khan?
Let's see. Someone named Khan. I don't know if that's the character.
No,
Benedict
Khan is a character.
Cumberbatch is rumored to be playing Khan.
I've never heard of such a name. Are you sure you're pronouncing that?
Oh, he's scary looking.
Well, that could be it.
He is? Let's see.
Is that a mask? No,
maybe if it's rumored, maybe we'll find out for sure on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, he was in The Hobbit. No wonder I've never heard of
him. Don't make that a Hobbit.
Wow. Okay. Well, then also Paramount, they've got a 30-second ad for World War Z. That's a summer movie about a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well, it's starring Brad Pitt. So, I echo that before.
Yeah, except when you said Brad Pitt, I think immediately of Angelina.
Oh, okay. Well, she's not in it.
She's an opposite of it. What's an opposite, Greg, of the... Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Ardo.
See, we're doing the sound effects again.
You didn't say it.
Because you said the way I said it.
You could say it my way.
No, I don't
Joseph
even know how
Erdo.
You...
Erdo.
I don't even know how you say
Erdo.
It. You say
Ardo.
It different every time.
Erdo. Ardo.
I don't even think that you guys introduced me this time. I think
I was
trying.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even introduce
I was about
you.
To. I said Dave Isaac, and then I was going right to Joseph, and then all of a sudden you
it's
said,
already 2:20.
Ardo.
Oh, well. We
Joseph. Ardo.
Ardo.
Right here. Oh,
one of us is going to say it right.
Oh, yeah. Ardo. What did I say?
I don't
Ardo.
Know what you're
saying. Oh, I said Ardo. That's
right. That's what I'm supposed to say. Oh, no. I'm supposed to say I Ardo.
No, it's Ardo.
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Okay.
So I guess
we've done it.
I guess Disney, they're spending the most money. They've got three ads, three campaigns during the Super Bowl. One is for Oz the Great and Powerful.
That looks good.
So this is the Wizard of Oz movie starring James Franco. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, and they've also got Iron Man 3. They've got a trailer for that.
Oh, I like those Iron Man.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's going to be darker this time if you've seen the full-length trailer.
A helicopter shot down his house.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Saw that house. It looked like a house in Malibu.
Yep.
Like multi-million dollars.
And it looks very, very dark compared to the last two.
Yes.
And then finally, The Lone Ranger starring Johnny Depp.
I saw the previews of that.
Yeah.
He's Tonto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it went way over budget, and then they brought it back on track, and then it went way over budget again. So, you know, but now they're going to spend even more money on it. Another, you know, $3.7 million.
Now, that might be a good investment, though. Because if it's not going to go well and you get great advertising because of Johnny Depp, people may see it.
Yeah, they're just spending so much money on this movie.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. It's destined to fail. It's never going to make back. You know, I don't think so.
Oh.
So yes. I don't know the full figures, but...
That's going to be a tough one, and it comes out July 3rd. So when you have the 4th of July time, I don't know what else is coming out that day, but I'm sure there's some other
Ashley Green
big hits. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, that'd be nice. But, yeah, that is going to be pretty tough, despite Johnny Depp. And Armie Hammer is an up-and-coming star. You know, he's done good on The Social Network, but, yeah, that's going to be tough.
I just thought of a great name, Ashley Green and Part of the Rainbow.
Part of the Rainbow?
What? Get it? Ashley Green.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, maybe not so good.
No, I think it's a good time for a break.
I think so.
I think so.
Tom, get us to break, and security, Dave, needs to go. This is Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Greg Isaac, Dave Isaac, Joseph Iardo.
Erdo.
There you go.
Wow.
And we'll be back after this break for more movie reviews. Movie 43, Hansel and Gretel, and a couple others coming up.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, here in the first hour from 2 to 3, of course. Joseph Iardo.
Erdo.
There you go. Great film critic, and we're going
to... Hey, do it. Let's do it with his first name. go ahead.
I'll say Joseph.
Joe.
There you go.
Okay. G.I.
Let's just stick with
G.I. Am I still here?
Let's just stick with Iardo Erdo.
Okay.
There we go. I think we'll stick with that. And some great stuff, of course. We'll have some movie reviews coming up here in just a moment, as well as Dave is going to try to stump us on what the highest budget is of all time in terms of the most expensive films of all time. Yeah.
All right. I'll give you some hints. This was a film I really liked.
Oh, well.
The Notebook. No kidding.
No. It was a great film. Okay, here's another hint. This is unfair to Joseph. I mean, Joseph. Erdo. Okay, thanks. Because he may not know this, but you may know this. At first, I was tired when I saw this film, and I didn't like it.
Really?
Oh, you don't know that?
No, I think I know what it's going to be.
And number one, what is it? And the most expensive film of all time.
Another Gore Verbinski film, perhaps?
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean Part 2?
At World's End, that's part
three.
Part three.
$300 million.
Really?
Hmm. Number two.
Gore
at $260 million is...
Part two.
I've never even seen this film.
What is it?
Tangled. What's Tangled?
Tangled, the Disney movie. Right?
Why is that so expensive?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But the next one was pretty good. It has to do with an insect.
Oh, ants, Bug's Life.
No.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't think that.
Those were the two that
Tobey Maguire. Tobey Maguire.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Spider-Man 3.
Three. $258,000. Okay. Do I hear more? Number four tied with another film. $250. Guess who? $250. $250 million.
Well, now the Lone Ranger jumps in, but any hints?
Never saw this one. Also,
you heard of
John
it?
Carter. What is
John
that?
John Carter. Yeah, John Carter of Mars.
Tied with Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Well, see, now the interesting thing is you've mentioned a few movies there. I'm not going to include Tangled because animated movies, family movies are a completely different beast.
Yeah.
But you've got the last, number three of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
You've got Spider-Man 3.
Three.
And you've got John Carter. Those are all movies that people just, they are considered flops.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way that they could possibly make enough money because their budgets are so high.
I like the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that they're not good movies. I like Spider-Man 3.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Oh, me too. I actually did, and... Pirates 3 I thought was okay, but I see why it was a flop, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to sit through. But no, Spider-Man 3 I did like a lot as well. Actually, that summer had some good movies because it started out, Spider-Man 3 and then Knocked Up, and then later in the summer, Superbad. So two of my favorite comedies I remember were out that summer. And then, of course, in Knocked Up, they mentioned Spider-Man 3 in that movie, but... I thought it was entertaining. I mean, I guess I could see why maybe some fans of the series were kind of like, eh. But it was a little long.
And
but,
yet,
you know.
If you have something like Insidious or Paranormal Activity, these movies that don't cost anything to make.
Right, and then they make tons of money.
They're the most profitable movies of all time. Now, they don't have the most money, but they have the biggest profits because they were made with, you know, $1 million or less.
Yeah.
And yet they make $1 million in 2 hours.
The only hope, I guess, with Lone Ranger is the only other movie, or at least big movie, that's coming out that same day, July 3rd. And that's a good time to see movies, of course. Despicable Me 2, which should be a great hit, you know, with families and kids. But, to make that type of budget, I mean, obviously Johnny Depp, big star. You know, if it is a good movie and word of mouth travels and, you know, all the trailers and people watching the previews are inclined to see it, you know, it could do okay, but man, that's a lot of money to try to make back.
Well, let's do this. How about the 10 lowest budget movies?
Lowest budget?
Yeah.
That might be kind of hard. Because
Paranormal Activity 1, 2, 3. The first one was good.
It might be like movies that we've never heard of, though.
No, I think you have. Number 10. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A hint.
Sean Claude Van Damme.
Did you say Sean Claude?
Or Gene.
Sean.
John.
Who's
Gene.
That guy?
Oh, that one. 500,000.
Okay.
But it went on to make $10 million. Nice investment.
Sure.
Fireproof. $500,000.
Oh, okay.
Kirk Cameron.
I've never seen that. $33 million.
Nice. You're going to like this. If you guys don't get this, I'm going to be so upset.
All right. Go ahead.
He's been on our show before. What was that movie? He wrote it. He directed it. He was in it.
He wrote it and he directed it.
Oh, my gosh.
With Kevin Smith.
Yes, that is quite correct. What is it? Yes, you do win.
Yeah.
Yes, what do I win?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
$27,575.
Wow.
Over $3 million. Nice investment.
I thought that's what he was saying, that I won that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Say, come on.
$25,000 budget. Number seven, Breathing Room. I don't know what that is.
I've never
Gabriel
heard of that.
Cowan.
No.
Oh, you're going to like this. You sort of said the World War 3Z or something. The Zombie Diaries. Ever see it?
George Romero.
$10,000 and made 1,400. No, I don't know. paranormal activity. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. 15,000. How do they make it so cheap? How about this one? Famous. Guess what? Eraserhead. I don't know.
Okay.
Was that good? 10,000.
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, El Mariachi.
$7,000.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's cheap. And here's one. Primer. $7,000. Is it good?
I haven't seen it.
And here's one. I think it's a mistake, but it says British zombie created on a budget. $70. No, really. Can you make a movie on $70?
It's got a little camera.
Colin.
Never seen it. No,
that's a zombie thing.
Yeah.
How do you do it for $70?
I don't know. I mean, that's a really cheap. Yeah.
Oh,
not
it
much
says,
you could do.
It's a British zombie film created on a budget of 70. Actors were gathered through social media, MySpace, Facebook.
There you go.
Shot from a perspective of the zombie, Colin. Right.
I know someone that just like today bought a pair of sunglasses for $300 and something. So $70 on a movie.
You should have made a movie.
That's
unbelievable.
Better investment there.
Mm-hmm. And back to Joseph Erdo.
Iardo.
Well, before we get into the reviews, let's. I just want to mention that Sherry Shepherd, she's got a show that is. You like Epics? You watch Epics all the time, right?
Yes, I do like that.
Well, they're taping her show, Sherry Shepherd. It's My Time to Talk on February 9th. So if you've got nothing to do and you want to, you know, go see Sherry Shepherd. There are two showings, two times she's going to be there: 7 o'clock and 9:30 p.m. 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 9th. It's at the Tempe Center of the Arts Theater. No flash photography or videotaping. Tickets are $25. And, you know, so you can go look that up and, you know, something cool to do.
Wow, nice.
Right? And so we're going to try to get her on the show. We'll see what we can do.
Jay's a big fan of The View.
Yeah?
Oh, she's on The View?
Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know. Is she a View, though?
Let's talk about Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters.
Yes.
First. This was number one at the box office.
Was this a fairy tale at one point?
This was a fairy tale at one point. It made
about the gingerbread man?
No, that was a different. Well, there was gingerbread in it, but it made $19.7 million, which sounds good, but it's not outstanding. I mean, again, I don't know what the budget was, but they're saying, you know, it's okay, but they were hoping for more.
But it was up against zombies, $70.
Right, yeah, that's true. But so Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton play Hansel and Gretel, the title characters from your favorite fairy tale. And, you know, so that this thing happens to them when they're a kid. That was, as we all know, they try to get eaten, or they don't try to get eaten. The witch tries to eat them when she lures them into her gingerbread house. And so
that's where I got the gingerbread.
Yes.
I knew there was something connected like that.
Right, yeah. And so they grow up, and then they basically become Buffy the Vampire Slayer for witches. So, it's kind of a dark fairy tale. It's definitely rated R.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and the first half an hour was very, very funny. You mentioned on a previous show who the producer was. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Yes, Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
and that's another producer was, of course, his buddy, who's made quite a bit of Will Ferrell movies, and I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, the brothers, right?
No, it hasn't been in a movie.
His producing
partner,
writer. Yeah, so this was produced by them, but the movie, again, the first half an hour was a lot of fun, very hokey. I really like that they didn't use a lot of CGI. There is some CGI, computer-generated effects. But most of it, you know, the witches and stuff, it's practical costumes. It's weight, makeup and stuff like that. But after the first half an hour, it was like watching a Saturday Night Live sketch that wasn't funny. It wasn't intended to be funny. And you're just like watching. You're like, wait a minute. Why is this even on this show? And then you realize you're not watching SNL. And you're like, wow, this is taking a really long time to end.
Wow.
So it's pretty bad. Again,
two zines, right?
It's two zines. Yeah. You've hit the nail on the head. Two zines. I really liked the first half an hour. It was fun, but I think it was a matter of it was taking itself too seriously.
Okay.
You know, which is strange that Will Ferrell produced it.
Yeah,
and Adam McKay is the other name.
Adam McKay,
very good. Yes. So I can't see it staying in at the box office for very long. But number one, good for that, right?
Okay, yeah, for a week, yeah.
Now, Parker, we gave away passes to this a few weeks ago, and this was number five at the box office.
Uh-huh.
Didn't do that well. $7 million. Jason Statham plays this con man who he tries to he's basically double crossed.
Yeah,
they steal this money. He's double crossed and by his crew, left for dead. And so he assumes this new disguise and forms an alliance with this woman played by Jennifer Lopez. Mm-hmm. And he looks to hijack the score of that other crew's latest attempt to con some money out of some people.
Huh.
And some action. The beginning is very exciting. Mm-hmm. A lot of action in the beginning. You've got the double cross scene is a lot of fun to watch. But mm-hmm. then as soon as Jennifer Lopez hits the movie, it's just ruined.
Really?
She's ruined so many things.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's ruined any marriages. Maybe you know that.
Jennifer Lopez, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. She's ruined,
she ruined
that.
Mine.
And mine.
She ruined. She ruined
and also our neighbors.
She ruined American Idol, right?
She did?
Well, yeah.
What'd
she
do?
She was a judge for a year or two.
Yeah.
And that's when the ratings just dropped, and that's when I stopped watching and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also she was in The Backup Plan. That was her last big starring role.
Mm-hmm.
And that was talk about flops.
Yeah,
that was a big flop. I mean, they're saying that was like of Geely proportions.
Oh.
A flop.
Yeah. That's too bad.
So now you've got her ruining Parker. This is it could have been a really good movie, but she's playing this character like she would play a character in a romantic comedy.
Really?
I don't think she understands that it's a crime thriller
action movie.
Yeah.
Right.
She's playing.
Did she look good at least in this? Or
I don't know. I've never been too attracted to Jennifer Lopez.
No?
No.
She ruined our marriage. Come on. And the neighbors. It was a block party, actually.
I bet. Sounds like it. Sounds more exciting than this movie turned out to be.
So a two-zener.
Yeah, definitely two zeners.
What can you do?
Yeah. So, Jason Statham is always fun. I love the Crank movies. I know you do, too, right?
Yeah. The first one I've seen. Yeah.
Okay. I loved
But there is a scene. I didn't see it, but I'm going to ask you since you said it. I didn't see the movie. Was she wearing a wire?
No, she wasn't wearing a wire.
Oh, you paid attention.
Okay. Well,
all right. No further questions. Your witness, Your Honor.
So, two zines. I wouldn't go see it. Now you've got Broken City. This came out a couple weeks ago. We didn't get a chance to review this on the show. It was number 5 its first week, $8.3 million.
Mm.
This past weekend dropped to number 10, $4 million. It's dropping fast.
That's bad.
Yeah, this is
Russell Crowe, right?
Russell Crowe and Mark Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. Mark Wahlberg plays an ex-cop turned private eye. He something happens in the beginning where he has to quit the force and he becomes his private eye. And Russell Crowe plays this a mayor of a city, and he's someone's cheating on his his wife is cheating on him.
Jennifer Lopez.
Someone. No, not Jennifer. Is it Jennifer Lopez?
Catherine
Zeta-Jones. Yeah.
No, I was just continuing the scenario.
You had me confused there for a second. But yeah, so then Mark Wahlberg he has to investigate this. He doesn't want to, but he has to investigate this. The mayor's got this, blackmail, basically,
mm-hmm.
Hanging on. And it turns out to be a lot more than just a wife cheating on her husband. And, so it's
usually is, by the way.
It's actually a decent movie. Yeah, but it's it's actually a decent movie.
And they're great actors. I like both of them. Right, Craig?
Yeah, they're
great. I don't much care for Russell Crowe. I think that he...
Because of the phone?
No, not necessarily the phone, but that adds to it.
Yeah.
No, I just think, like in Les Mis, he couldn't really sing.
I haven't seen that yet.
You got to see it. Not for him, though, because I think he wasn't all that great in the movie. He kind of pulled it down a little bit.
Really?
So I don't go out of my way to see his
movies. He was no Pierce Bronson when he sang, right?
right. Mamma Mia. But Mark Wahlberg is always fun.
I like him. Yeah.
He's in one of your favorite movies of last year, a comedy, right?
Yeah. Don't tell me. What? Okay. What? Tell me.
Seth MacFarlane.
Which one was
Ted? Ted, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was good.
Yeah.
He's very versatile, though.
He could
be the tough guy. I liked him in Leonardo's movie.
And he can sing.
The gangster movie.
I can't remember the name.
Yeah,
of it,
that
I
was
know.
Good. Though.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, yeah.
And he was, he was really, he was a good, oh, really.
I know.
He was really a good guy.
Yeah, let me look it up. Jack Nicholson. And
yeah,
everyone's in that one.
That was
Matt
a good
Damon.
One.
How are we forgetting this?
I love
The Departed.
Yeah, there you go.
He was pretty. He's like a good guy there.
Yeah, and he's a very charming actor.
Yeah,
and
Marky Mark.
Yes. Yeah. And so he was really good
the
in
vibrations.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it got Beach a little Boys. Bit confusing at the end. Yeah, because I wish that they would have just stuck with just the, you know, wife cheating on her husband thing, yeah. because it got really, really complicated. I was never bored with it, but, right. you know, it's always hard when you're watching a movie and you're like, I'm really trying to follow this, but it's yeah. not kind of, you
so
know,
probably
not
three zine, maybe?
Very good. You're
hey,
on
I'm,
a roll
I'm,
today.
I'm doing good.
Hey, yeah.
Two zines and one three zine.
Three zines.
So worth watching.
Yes, worth watching. Yes,
okay,
I think
yeah.
so. I think it's worth seeking out. One that's not worth seeking out. In limited release, Quartet is playing exclusively yeah. at Harkins Kimmel View 5. Not a late Quartet. We mm-hmm. spoke with Imogen Poots.
Yeah, I was wondering
That's
about
a
that.
Good movie. That's
yeah.
a good movie.
This
was a bad
different.
One.
So the late one is better than this
the
other
one. The late
one
yeah. is a good movie. This one has Maggie Smith playing.
We've had her on the show.
That's a lot of old.
No, not Maggie Grace.
yeah. This oh. one has a lot of old
Maggie
parts.
Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Dustin Hoffman directed it, though.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
like
what's so surprising. Wow. Is that, you know, you think he knows how to make a good movie. No, maybe if he was acting in it, maybe it would have been different. But no, Maggie Smith plays a diva who, you know, this is about a retirement home for opera singers. And they're all, you know, trying to get this annual wow. concert together. And, yeah, I just don't care.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but, I mean,
yeah.
it's just, it's it made the best exotic Marigold Hotel look like
yeah,
a very complicated. Yeah, well, she was in that as well, and I didn't really much care for that one because I thought it was just too simple. It, you mm-hmm. know, there wasn't much of a plot to it.
Yeah,
it makes that movie Quartet makes that movie look like a really complicated movie. It makes it look like Broken City, basically.
Oh wow!
So I mean, there's nothing going on in this movie. It's just okay. We're going to plan our annual concert. No. I'm
well,
sorry.
She started in 1958. Nowhere to Go. That's what she did. Nominated for BAFTA Award for Best Newcomer.
Right, and maybe if you are a fan of Maggie Smith, and you
she's
are
good actress, right?
Yes, and if you are
Ardo
in a retirement home, I was going to say,
yeah.
Maybe you might get a kick out of this, but I didn't. Now, yeah. if you are into the art scene, art films. Maybe you do want to take a chance on West of Memphis. Again, this is playing at Camel View 5.
Oh.
This is, have you ever heard of the West Memphis 3?
No.
Yes.
Yes?
A nice trio of singers.
No.
Oh, Jennifer Lopez and two neighbors.
These are three men now. They when they were teenagers, they were accused of killing these three little boys.
Oh, it's a true story.
This is a documentary.
Bad. Oh.
Is it Paradise Lost, I think? Is
are we done with Maggie Smith?
Yeah.
Is that a two zines?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, that was a one zine.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say that.
Yeah. You were going to. Yeah. Okay.
Do I get credit?
Well, you said, is that two zines? So I don't know.
I'll
give it to you.
Okay.
So it's my
old
fault.
They made her look in Hook, which was over 20 years ago.
She was in Hook.
She was
Captain
Wendy.
Hook?
Yeah.
yeah
she
with
played
Dustin
like a
Hoffman?
90-year-old in Hook. Yeah. Dustin Hoffman got
oh
her.
Oh, my
back.
Gosh.
Yeah. sorry.
And Sister Act, too. Oh, sorry.
So I'll give it to you, though.
All right.
I'll give it to you.
I'm on a roll. You're not playing this game. Okay.
So, but West of Memphis, this is a true story.
A documentary.
Yes, a documentary about. Three guys who are in prison for something that they may or may not have done.
Oh.
It turns out they didn't do it.
Oh.
They didn't do it, and there is someone that the filmmaker here finds the person who actually did do it. This person hasn't been arrested. You know,
really?
Yeah, it's a very it takes you through the entire story of these. You know, so if you're brand new, if you've never heard of this story, I hadn't heard of it,
no.
And I know so much more now about it, and I was very interested in it. And it's very rare for a documentary. You know,
right.
It takes a lot for a documentary to catch my interest, and this one definitely did.
Four zines.
Yes.
Four zines. Oh, right. How do you like that? Greg?
Great work there. I do think, though, when we get to movie 43, I'm going to predict right with that. And when we get there,
okay.
I'll make
predict.
My
well,
prediction.
We are there.
That's
movie 43.
Are we there now?
Now, from what I've seen in terms of reviews, it's either hated or some call it amazing, you know, because it depends the type of sense of humor and whatnot. I get the sense.
Wait, no, let him review it.
I know. I'm going to
guess.
I'm just making a prediction.
All
I haven't seen it yet, of course. I want to. I think you'll give it a 4 or a 5. I get the sense that you enjoyed it a lot.
And I can predict.
Well, if you were playing the game, you want to predict what I gave it after I reviewed it, and that way, you know, spoil it.
Well, I'll do a pre-prediction.
Okay,
and
give it a pre-prediction. This one won't count.
I'm going to say you gave it at most a 3.
At most a three. At that's pre-production.
I think
okay.
over that.
All right.
All right.
So this is a series of short films. If basically the thing that connects them all is Dennis Quaid plays a washed-up producer, and he's got this profane story. He's got these series of shorts that he wants sold to a movie. And he goes into this Hollywood bigwig played by Greg Kinnear to sell this movie, and Greg Kinnear says, no, this just isn't do. This isn't going to do. And so he pulls out this gun, and he says, well, no, you're going to make this movie. So, you know, that's what is connecting. It doesn't sound very humorous there, but, you know, trust me, it's played for comedy. Its cast includes at least 36 recognizable actors and actresses.
Wow.
Okay? And so I think they were at one time were saying there were 17 shorts, but there were a few deleted, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe I counted 14 or 15 shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, no, I lost. This is,
no, you didn't lose. That didn't count. So now, you can find out, you know. Now you'll give us your full prediction here in a second. But this is... you may not have more fun watching any movie this year. It's very profane. Mm-hmm. It's
not
disgusting.
Profound.
Not profound at all. It is disgusting.
Profane.
It is obscene.
Did you say propane?
Profane.
Oh, I know. Not propane.
But it's just disgusting. It's such a disgusting movie.
Well, there's been movies like this. What's some of the disgusting movies about
There's a lot of great ones, though, that are disgusting.
Right? Some funny ones.
Yeah. Well, a lot of Judd Apatow movies, I guess some could consider that.
Really?
But they're great, though. Yeah.
Oh.
That doesn't mean it's bad.
Right. And so, you know, most people would consider this the most sickening scum to ever grace the silver screen.
Really?
But, you know, if you're not afraid to let loose and laugh a little bit or in this case, a lot, then you're going to love this movie.
Uh-huh.
So what is your prediction? What do I give it? How many zines do I give this?
Well, I don't think a five. I think you rate a lot on... you rate a lot on how you like something, not whether it's, from a society standpoint, whether it's redeeming.
Right.
Because you have... See, I've gotten to know Joseph Erdo.
Yes.
I heard it.
Okay. I'm going to say, I may have to revise this. I'm going to say, I'm going to go four zines. What are you going?
Well, and I pre-prediction said four or five,
yeah.
So my final is a five. Because
my final's a four.
I think we have similar sense of humor, Iardo. And there we go. And Dave actually also has similar to us as well.
Yeah,
I get
I didn't
the
like
sense.
Bruno, though.
I did. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I walked out. I walked out.
Really?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
He liked Borat better. I liked both Borat
I thought
and
that
Bruno.
Was funny.
Yeah. Oh, Borat's hilarious.
So before you tell us, go ahead.
But I get the sense that you'll give it a five. I could tell that it seems like you really enjoyed it, and now I'm even more excited to see it.
And we'll talk about some of the shorts here in a minute, but what were you going to say, Dave?
What are some of the funny movies? Name one or two, and what did you give them?
Ted, I gave a four.
Okay.
I think Borat, I gave a five.
All right, then I'm revising it to five.
Hey, no, I already said.
All right, I'll stick at four.
But what if
I gave American Reunion last year. I gave that one a four.
I'm sticking with that four.
One.
I like it too. I do like those. I hope they make another one. Actually,
it's scary.
I'm giving a four.
It's scary that Dave knows me so well. That is scary.
I'm
giving it a four.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That is. I'm scared.
This is so exciting.
No, because you know, in order to be a five, it would really. I mean, it would have had to been a contender for like the funniest movie of the year.
Well, exactly. It's probably a four
plus.
So
it might be the most fun you've had at the theater this year.
Yeah,
but maybe not.
Well, see, here's the problem. You can have a lot of fun watching this movie, but is any clip show, any shorts, collection of shorts, if you ever sit through one of these, there's always one or two bad ones.
Sure.
You know, so that's what pulls it down.
Oh, is that what it does?
There's a few that aren't as good, but there are some that really, I mean.
Outrageous, right?
If some of these shorts would have. Be made into a feature-length film, it would have been the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, and that would have been definitely a five. So let's briefly go over a few of these in our last few minutes here. Okay, we already talked about the pitch. This is the thing that's kind of like surrounding the entire thing. And by the way, Common also is in that short.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, let's see, The Catch. This is with Kate Winslet
yeah.
and Hugh Jackman. right? And in this, Hugh Jackman has a sexual organ on his neck. And so it is a very strange, outrage. Yeah, it's that kind of film.
It does sound like a Family Guy episode.
Yeah, yeah. That one was directed by Peter Farrelly.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah. Dumb and Dumber and Three Stooges and all that stuff.
Yeah. I saw the Three Stooges. Did you like that?
Yes, I like the Three Stooges.
I did too.
Will Sasso's in it, of course.
Will Sasso's in
it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Are they going to make a sequel?
No, they're not going to make a sequel. It didn't do very well. Yeah. But this is the funniest short that I've ever seen. I mean, it is literally the sickest short that you will ever see. I mean, you will not stop laughing. I don't know how long it is. It's like, 10 minutes or whatever.
Oh, they're really short then.
Yeah, they're very short. But this one, it's just hilarious. Can't tell you anything else on the air. You have to go see this, if only for this short.
That's what we're seeing tomorrow.
Right.
Tonight.
Here's the sad thing is it didn't hardly make any money at the box office.
Oh, it didn't?
No, let's see what it made. It was number 7. It was $4.8 million.
Oh, despite all the stars, it seemed like there wasn't a lot of talk to the movie.
Right.
And I think that did some of it. And not everyone has the type of sense of humor that we have.
Exactly.
Or we love that type of stuff.
And not many people can let loose. And
exactly.
I mean, it's like, I'm not afraid to say, you know what? Yes, this stuff is sick, but I loved every minute of it.
Will it be out tomorrow still?
Yeah, it'll still be.
Absolutely, don't worry.
Yeah, it'll be out. Yeah. It'll be out. You might want to see it at least for 1 week. You might have a hard time finding it after another week or two.
Really?
Yeah, but it I think it'll still.
Quite, but great cast, though.
Yeah, great cast.
If you look at this.
Homeschooled. This is Naomi Watts and Liev Schreiber. Mm-hmm. They play parents of, they're homeschooling parents. Mm-hmm. And this kid, they want to give him a high school experience. So they, treat him like the high school, like they're his peers.
Nice.
It goes kind of over the top, but it's an interesting kind of experiment.
Wow.
And the proposition, Anna Faris and Chris Pratt. Anna Faris asks Chris Pratt's character to defecate on her as the ultimate form of.
I remember seeing that in the trailer.
Yes. So kind of sick, very, very sick by the end of it. But, I laughed. I'm sorry. Some people can't say that. But, and then there's one called Veronica.
Uh-huh.
And this has Kieran Culkin and one of your favorites, Emma Stone.
Oh, yes.
That was kind of one of my least favorite of the bunch.
Mm. Oh.
Kind of talkative. There's iBabe. Basically, this is an iPod, only it's a naked woman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you have one of those at home, right?
I do.
And plays music and everything. Richard Gere and Kate Bosworth are in this one. This one's okay. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's superhero speed dating. We were talking about superheroes earlier. Justin Long, Jason Sudeikis, Uma Thurman, Kristen Bell, Leslie Bibb. This is
a
cornucopia.
One.
Yeah. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's about superheroes speed dating.
And, how funny.
Basically Batman is ruining Robin's date, speed dating experience.
Right.
He ruins every date. Middle school date, Jimmy Bennett, Chloe Grace Moretz, and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, super bad.
Lovin', yeah.
And Patrick Warburton, one of my favorites.
Family Guy.
The Tick as well.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Duhamel.
He's in another one. Well, this one's, I thought this was maybe my second favorite, about a girl who gets a period and nobody has any idea what it is. I'm bleeding. She's bleeding. What's going on? He calls 911. What's going on? What are we going to do? Get a sponge, clean the wall. And then.
It's ironic that Chloe's going to be in Carrie.
yeah. And Happy Birthday. This is Truth or Dare.
Uh-huh.
Or no, I'm sorry. That one's a different one. But there's one about Truth or Dare. With Stephen Merchant and Halle Berry, they blow out a blind kid's birthday candles. Hilarious. And there's Beazle, Victory's Glory. We're running out of time, but the deleted sketches, Trey Parker and Matt Stone were supposed to make one.
Oh.
They wanted to focus on South Park.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk made one starring Anton Yelchin as a necrophiliac. They cut that one after test screenings. And finally, George Clooney, apparently, he's rumored to have been in one, but after he saw it, he said, no way.
Really?
There was a profanity there as well, but he said no way.
A little over a minute left, but do you think some of those that were cut, maybe not Clooney's, but Anton Yelchin's and Matt Stone, Trey Parker's, do you think those would be on the DVD?
Hoping so. Well, I don't know if Trey Parker and Matt Stone ever finalized theirs.
Oh, they might have just been in talks.
I would think that Bob Odenkirk's will definitely, and Anton Yelchin's, they're definitely will be on there.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. I definitely go see this movie. You know, that's all I can say. And laugh, right?
I wanted to see it. Now I really want to see it. So I think tomorrow night that's what we'll be seeing.
He'll pay extra now.
Absolutely. Right. This has been Breakthrough Thinking the Magazine, the first hour, of course, with Joseph Iardo.
Erdo.
There we go. Great film reviews, and we'll see you next week, of course.
Warm Bodies. We'll have a couple of the actors from Warm Bodies on.
Oh, excellent.
Absolutely. That'll be great. Greg Isaac here alongside Dave Isaac. And joining us at 3 o'clock, just in a moment here, Conrad from TAD Management and the Great American Talent Search to talk about some upcoming events that they have. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, my name is Shirley Harshberger-Pridgett. I own Harshberger Assisted Living at 7202 West Libby Street in Glendale, Arizona. I'm inviting you to come over and visit my care home for the elderly. I have a 24-hour awake staff, and I care for all phases of illness, including hospice, Alzheimer's, and dementia. You don't need an appointment. Just drop by. My phone number is 623-842-1408. Again, it's 623-842-1408. Mention David Isaac's name, and your loved one's deposit will be free. Thank you, and God bless.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-4255.
888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.